go to the top. Let's sing it again. In every distress.
In every distress. I call upon you, God.
Oh, I know that you hear me.
I know that you hear me. My cry comes before you.
I seek your face.
I seek your face. God, you are my strength and my rock.
Yes, yes.
I seek your face.
Lord, speedify. Do speedily what needs to be done. You are well able to quicken us. Bring to pass speedily answers, solutions to the issues that we face in life. Grow us up speedily. If you did it with a tree, just to bring shade to Jonah on the coast of Nineveh, you can do in us and with us extraordinary things as at extraordinary speeds. If man in the natural can speed up the growing of poultry, you can do something extraordinary with our lives and cause us, O God, to catch up with where we ought to be in the realm of the Spirit. We ask, O God, for a supernatural move that we may serve you, worship and adore you, bless and magnify your name as we ought to. Thank you, Father, for speedifications in every area of our lives, spiritually, emotionally, physically, financially, relationally, in every area. Do a quick work, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we ask it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Welcome to this evening gathering. Before I get to the word for us tonight, I'd like to remind you of what I mentioned this morning about a very special meeting on the 31st of July, Sunday evening. And that being a special service, it will start at 6:30. I'll give you more details on the morning of the 31st. I'm not going to tell you anything more than what I've said so far, and encourage us all to please, for your sake, endeavor to be physically here if you are in this city. If you're not here, that's understood. You get the information that you need to get on the 31st morning service so that you respond together with the rest of the saints that are here in person on that evening. Now, if you may, please, come with me to the book of John, the third chapter. This is a chapter that most of us as believers are very familiar with. But tonight I want to look closely at this subject, at the discussion that the Lord Jesus Christ had with this Pharisee called Nicodemus, and try to ascertain what it is that the discussion was all about, to find out whether we have missed the point of this particular passage and therefore need to recalibrate and come into right alignment with what the Lord Jesus Christ and Nicodemus were really addressing. The Word of God starts out this way. It says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. And this man, the Bible says, was a ruler of the Jews. He was a man of importance. He was a man that was well known in the community. He was a ruler. He was a man of high reputation and position. Bible says that this man did something that was extraordinary in the sense that he was a Pharisee, and Pharisees didn't care much about Jesus. Jesus was competition for them. And they could care less about Jesus. They wanted to get rid of Jesus. They were enemies of the Lord. But this man, who is part of that group called the Pharisees, came to Jesus by night. He snuck in by night and he says to the Lord, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God." So these people knew that Jesus was a teacher that came from God and were fighting him anyway. Isn't that ironic that that's how life really is? That people know the truth but decide to live a lie. They knew that Jesus was a teacher that came from God. "For no man," he said, "no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." We've seen your miracles, and no man can do these miracles except God be with him. The response of Jesus, remember, he said, verse 2 again, "No man can do these miracles except God be with him." His focus was about the miracles. You do these miracles because God is with you. We know that. And the response of the Lord is this. It's not jumping away from the context of the discussion. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, if that's all we're left with, then we can debate it. But the Lord says to us that he couldn't do any miracles except what he saw the Father doing. So, if he couldn't do any miracles except what he saw the Father doing, and Nicodemus is talking about miracles being done, Jesus was telling him how the miracles got done. He was saying, you need to be born again to be able to do these miracles. You need to be born again to see what God is doing and align with it. You need to see the kingdom of God. Miracles happen because of what we see. Unfortunately, we do not allow ourselves to see. We want things to be done mechanically. But miracles only happen in the atmosphere of supernatural sight. You seeing what God is doing. Jesus, our Lord, taught his disciples, he said, when you pray like this, "Father, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the earth as it is in heaven." So there is a perfect will of God in heaven. The issue is, do I see it? Do I see it? Do I see it? Jesus says the way to see it is to be born again. To be born again, he's going to begin to expand on that. He says, Nicodemus says, Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? I'm old. What are you talking about? About being born. Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And the Lord says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of what? Water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You have to be born again to enter into the kingdom of God. You have to be born again to see the kingdom of God. So we see two things here. The new birth gives you access into the kingdom of God, access spiritually, access by vision and insight. That has to happen. He continues and says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is what? Spirit. Huh. Are you here with me? If you're born in the flesh, then you are flesh. But to be born of the Spirit causes you to be spirit, not flesh. So when we get born again, we become spirit, not flesh. Oh, my Lord. Is it possible that we've missed in the point? Because if there's a spirit here right now, can you see it? No. So you have to be in the realm of the Spirit to see spiritually. Yes? And God is saying, watch this. When you're born of the Spirit, you become spirit. Not by choice, but by the will of God. That I become spirit. Which means I am no longer natural, I am spiritual. And the Word of God tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that natural-minded people cannot perceive or discern or connect with spiritual things because the things of the Spirit have to be spiritually discerned. Remember, we talked about that this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. But the natural man, first thing, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are not on the same wavelength. You're not on the right channel. If I have a radio, and there is a video being played that's in the airwaves, because I'm on radio, I cannot see the video. That makes sense? You have to have the equipment that will be able to pick up the video and the audio. Whether that be a computer, or a television, all you can get from radio wavelengths is radio. God says, if you are just natural, you are not able to receive the things of the Spirit. You are radio, not television. For they are foolishness unto him. You are left with your own imaginations. The things of the Spirit are foolishness to you. You cannot link with it. You cannot understand it. You cannot comprehend it. You cannot participate with it. Because it is spiritual. It says, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. They are spiritually discerned. You can sit in church and not be born again, and we'll talk about how this happens for us. And everything that's talked about just goes past you. Clueless, understanding nothing. Because the things of the Spirit are spiritually discerned. The Word of God continues in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 15. He says, but he that is spiritual, now that is a person that is born of the Spirit, judgeth all things. He sees everything and is able to make judgment on everything. But the privilege of being spiritual is this: yet he himself is judged of no man. I am of the Spirit, I am judged of no man. How is that possible? It is the born again experience. You get born again to see the kingdom of God, you get born again to enter the kingdom of God. How do we get born again? Jesus says to us in John 3, you have to be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. He kept on saying that you must be born again. There is another birth that is beyond the natural birth. This is a different kind of birth, and it has nothing to do with your natural physical flesh birth. Then he goes and begins to talk about this being born of the Spirit. He says, the wind bloweth, just like you don't see the wind. He says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, where it wants to go. And thou hearest the sound thereof. You hear the sound of the wind, but cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Everyone that is born of the Spirit is saying, basically, you cannot be calibrated. You cannot, when you're born of the Spirit, be understood. You're different. But we are always trying to cause people, natural people, to understand us. We want to argue with them so that they can understand us. We've got to do things so that we can relate with them. You cannot relate with them. You can only effectively relate from a spiritual perspective. by saying, you know what? If you want to understand what I am saying, you need to be equipped with the right equipment to be able to understand. Because the things of God are foolishness to the natural mind. We want people to understand us. We want people to accept us. They cannot. Not without a born-again experience. And so it is imperative that we bring the word clearly to those that do not understand from the natural perspective. Listen, you've got to let God birth you. Because the one who births us, that causes us to be born again, is God Himself. God births you. God gives birth to you. You are born again, the Bible tells us, from above. You're not born in this earth realm. And you're born again because you accept that you don't know, but that there is a higher power that knows you better than you know yourself. An ant cannot understand you. You cannot have a discussion with an ant. You either become an ant so that you can talk and tease, whatever that is, or you become a man so you can talk, communicate, like-mindedness. A lot of us are in church but have not been born again. And so whatever God's word is saying, we can't connect with that. Doesn't make any sense to us. Because it takes the new birth experience to understand the will of God, the purposes of God, what God wants to accomplish. Nicodemus, verse 9, answered and said unto him, how can these things be? How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, you mean you're a master of Israel and knoweth not these things? You don't know that you have to be born again to experience the life of God? That the life of God is a spiritual life and not a natural life, and natural measurements don't work when we're talking about the things of God. Well, Pastor, I'm trying to see if my husband can understand me, if my wife can understand me, if my children can understand me, if my parents can understand me, not when they are not born again. Not when they are not born again. You're just going to frustrate yourself trying to make people who are not reading from the same page with you understand anything about what it is that you're talking about. They don't have the foundation for it. He says, are you a leader in Israel and you don't understand these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know. We talk about what we do know and testify that we have seen He says, and you receive not our witness. And the reason you don't receive our witness is because you're not born again. If I've told you earthly things, if I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? If I'm giving you the diluted version, so to speak, are you going to understand, concentrate? You can handle it. Now, that's important for us to understand that God is saying, listen, you've got to come to a different level to be able to comprehend the things of God. You've got to come to a different level. Now, this is not about feeling more important than anybody else, because coming to God and receiving the new birth experience is an act of humility before God, in recognizing that you don't know anything, that you are nothing, and that He is the one that makes you something. If you don't come to that place where you recognize God, without you, I am a nobody, you cannot experience the born-again experience. The born-again experience comes about because you recognize that it's not because of all the stuff that you bring to the table, but that whatever it is that you bring into the table is worthless. And that the only right you have to be at the table is God's mercy, God's love. And so He's going to tell us later about God so loving the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Why? So that we can be born again. The new birth experience is your union with God, God's will, God's purpose. Accepting that you are a sinner and that He's altogether righteous and that He came and gave His life to you. So the new birth experience becomes a renewing of your mind. Being born again is being renewed in your thinking, in recognizing the fact that without God you are a nobody. It is the fool that thinks that he's a somebody. But if you want to be born again, you've got to acknowledge, I don't have it. I need help. Oh, this Christianity thing, this religious thing, it's just a crush. Okay. Call it whatever it is you want to call it. I know that I cannot get to where I need to get without Him. So I trust Him to help me. If I've told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And He makes a statement that is just earth-shattering. He says, and no man hath ascended up to heaven. No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And He's talking about Himself. He is the Son of Man. And He's saying, no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Oh, incredible. Watch this. No man hath ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven. He's telling us right there that for you to ascend, you have to come down. But guess what God did? God birthed us in the heavens to bring us here, which means then that we have access to go there. Not only do we have access to go there, but to be there at the same time as we are here. Watch this statement. And no man had ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. I'm here, the Son of Man. I'm with you right now, but I'm also in heaven. But what does God say about you and I? That we died with Christ and we rose again with Christ and we are seated with him in heavenly places right now. So you're here and there. How? Because you've been born again by the Spirit. You're a spirit being. You're here and there. And if you are here and there, you can be here and in Los Angeles. You can be here and in Timbuktu. How? Because of the God factor. The God who birthed you to be like him. A spiritual being. Our limitation is based on the fact that we think natural. We natural. And so we cannot understand the things of the Spirit. Because we think in the limitations of the natural mind. I remember many years ago, I was in my house, but at the same time, I was in another person's house. Now, how is that? And I was hearing every discussion. They were gathered together and they were discussing me. Trashing me and everything. And they were church members. And I'm there listening. I was in my home, but I was right there, watching every discussion going on. This person said that. Huh? Huh? What did you just say about me? Huh? And you too? I thought you, huh? You can be anywhere when you're born again. God can move you anywhere when you're born again. You can be in the earth and be in heaven when you're born again. The only limitation is we think natural. When Jesus came, he came to bring us to that place where we can be born again and be with the Father and be with people so that I can be talking with the Father and be talking to you at the same time. When does that change for you and I? When we believe beyond the natural to believing in the spiritual. Jesus says, I'm in heaven and I'm here at the same time. And then the discussion shifts. So it seems. But I don't think it really shifted. Because now he is beginning to tell Nicodemus how this new birth experience is going to take place. It says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. How does this eternal life happen for me? By me accepting that what Jesus Christ did on the cross, he did for me. But secondly, that by faith, I was on the cross with him. So Paul tells us, he says, I am crucified with Christ. When Christ was crucified on the cross, I was crucified with him. When Christ died on the cross, I died with him. When Christ was buried, I was buried with him. When he rose again from the death, from the place of his burial on the third day, I rose with him. When he ascended into the heavens, I ascended with him. When he sat down at the right hand of the Father, I sat with him. So right now, I am in Christ, seated at the right hand of the Father. So that's what born again is? Yeah. Born again experience is about you aligning yourself with what God says he has accomplished for you and thinking a new thought. Not thinking, oh, poor me, I'm such a terrible sinner, but celebrating the fact that Christ died for you so that you don't perish. And it's interesting, the word perish is used in verse 15 and also in verse 16. To perish means to waste away unnecessarily. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, two things, believeth in him, the Son, but believeth also in him, the God who gave the Son, that one should not perish, but have everlasting life. It is interesting that the word should is used rather than could or shall. But the word of God doesn't say that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. It says should not. Why? Because not perishing depends on you agreeing with what God says about you. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, natural mind thinking, but walk after the Spirit. What the Word of God says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Being born again is about you accepting the Word of God as final. Recognizing that what God says is what the truth is, and not trading it for your natural mind and your natural thinking. He who gave us his Son, won't he also give to us every other thing? Pastor, but I blew it. I messed up. Well, okay. What are you going to do now? I feel so terrible and I feel so condemned. Okay, what are you going to do now? I think I'm going to go to hell. Really? Then that's where you're going. Or you can recognize the fact that God saw you 2,000 plus years ahead, messing up big time, but paid the price for your redemption and your forgiveness, and so that price has been paid already, and all you need to do is say, God, I repent. I don't know what is wrong. I messed up royally, but God, I thank you for your mercy and your truth. Father, forgive me, cleanse me, and I receive the grace to live uprightly, to do right. Next time I face this situation, I believe I will make the right decision. Huh? Now it's different. Now you don't let anybody beat you down over the head and make you look like you're the devil's junior brother. You accept forgiveness given by God and therefore do not perish. But you have to accept what God has done for you. Not accepting it means that you expose yourself to the devices of the enemy. Why? For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. That's not why Jesus came. He didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He came to save people. What people? People that are sinners. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. If you say that you've not sinned, you're not living in the truth. But if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us all our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jesus became the propitiation, the satisfaction for our sins. And not just for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. 1 John 2. He that believeth on him is not condemned. If you believe on him, you're not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You didn't believe in the only begotten Son of God. That's why you are condemned already. We get born again when we accept the love of God. God loves us enough to set us free. That change of mind from I'm going to try to do whatever it is that I can do so that I can gain some rewards. You know, I'll do as much good as I can, and if the good that I've done outweighs the bad that I've done, then I'll be saved. You're going to hell. You definitely are going. Because no amount of good that you do is good enough. Your righteousness is as filthy rags before God. It is what Jesus already did, and you accepting what Jesus did that causes you to be born again. At that point, when you recognize that what God did is what satisfies him, and you accept that, then you will rest from all of your labors, all of your works. I'm going to do this so that this can happen and so that can happen. The kingdom of God is not about the systems of man. The law was given to show man how incapable of keeping it man was. Because the law was bare minimum requirement, and we could not keep it. God says, be ye holy because I'm holy. The standard of God for your holiness is not the standard of man. Let me say that again. The standard of holiness, as far as God is concerned, is not the standard of man. It is the standard of God. You going to do it like God? God says, you know you can't. So you got to trust me to carry you. Trust me that I am your righteousness. Lord, I receive the gift of righteousness from you. When I mess up, I know that your grace is available for me to correct it. Burying your head in the sand and saying, well, it is okay. It's not what God's word says. And so you cannot go by that. He says, and this is a condemnation, that light is come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. You loved darkness rather than light because your deeds were evil. It says, and that's why you're going to be condemned. But if you understand that that which is born of God comes from above, from the Father of light, in whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning, who of his own will, begat us. God birthed you. Then you become that good and perfect gift that came down from above. God birthed you from above. And that's what causes you to be a representative of God or an ambassador of God. You say, Pastor, what are you saying to us about being born again? It's about a renewed mind, a renewed thinking, having the mind of Christ. Now, we're going to explore that some other time. What does the mind of Christ mean? But the place we've got to start first from is this. Just forgetting about how you evaluate things and look at it from how God evaluates things. You can decide today to stop thinking the way God thinks about things and become natural-minded. And child of God, please hear this. When you start trying to make sense based on natural things, you are already walking into the pathway of perishing. Your measuring stick is not what that preacher said. What did the Word of God say? It's not what I feel. What did the Word of God say? What did the Word of God say about marriage? What did the Word of God say about tithing? What did the Word of God say about worship? What did the Word of God say about living right? What did the Word of God say about my sexuality? What did the Word of God say? That is what you measure everything by. Not what the Conservative Party said, not what the Liberal Party said, not what the NDP or whatever party in the world said, whatever government said, whatever denomination said, whatever Pope said. What did God's word say? That's what you agree with. That's what causes you to be born again. When you refuse to think the ways of the world and begin to think the ways of God, you begin to see into the realm of the kingdom of God. Verse 20 says, everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. They are being done in God, in God. So being born again means that you are in God, operating from the position of being in God and not in the flesh. It's God think. Not man think. It's spiritual thinking, not natural thinking. Being spiritually minded, not flesh minded. It is from this particular point that he begins to talk about baptism. Because baptism, or baptizo, is the identification of one thing to the other. White cloth dipped into red dye, and the white cloth becomes red. It's baptism. A natural-minded man coming to God and getting absorbed by the God consciousness. And he ceases to be a natural-minded person to becoming a spiritual-minded person. The Word of God says, as many as are led, watch this, as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God by the fact that they have been born again, and therefore they are sons. He gives you and I the power to become sons of God. John 1 and verse 12 makes this statement. In John 1, 12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become. He gave them the authority to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That is the beginning point. But that beginning point is not what all being born again is. He gives you the license to become because you believe in his name. You become born again when you are led by the Spirit of God. as many as are led by the Spirit of God, Romans 8, they are, not becoming, they are the sons of God. Because they are led by the Spirit of God. They are led by the Spirit of God because they are obeying the Spirit of God. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. When you become obedient to the directives of God, that's when you are born again. That's when you're a son of God. One introduces you to the possibility. It gives you the grace and the ability to be able to get in. It's like this. One gives you the ticket. The other one gets you to your seat. That you have a ticket does not mean that you saw the movie. You didn't see the movie until you got inside the theater. Hello? And so many people just said, well, I prayed the prayer. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I asked Jesus to forgive me my sins. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now I'm saved. That's good. But have you continued past that point in obeying God's instruction? One gave you. You received them, as many as received them to them, he gave the power or the exousia, the authority to become the sons of God. You've been authorized to become one. In other words, you've been equipped with all the necessary resources to become one. But until you obey, you are not. And it is at that point of obeying the word of God that God begins to show you the intel of the kingdom of God. You start getting inside information. This is what I want to do. Go there. Lord, okay, I'm here now. What should I do? Do this. Do that. And you obey the instruction. The timing of God. And God then will use you and use me to bring a revelation of the miraculous. Praise the Lord. We will stop there for tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you for the born again experience that we can be renewed in the spirit of our minds. Lord, help us, O God, to be exactly that, to be renewed in the spirit of our minds so that we can walk the walk of obedience, the walk of the new birth, birth in the likeness of God, birth in the graces and the benefits that godness establishes. Father, possess us completely. John said, he must increase and I decrease. We pray the same today, that we become more spiritual and less natural in our posture of living life. That we step into that realm of no limits and abolish the life of limitations. Because we recognize, oh God, that you are doing a new thing. And you are faithful in all of your ways. Be exalted in us. We take our rightful places in you, declaring, O God, that your kingdom come and your will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come in our families, in our homes, in the lives of our spouses, our children. Your kingdom come and your will done in our places of employment or business, in our city, in our communities, in our nation, in the seats of government, for education, medicine, every realm of society. We take a hold of the authority of your word and we impose your will in the heavens into this earth realm. We break the backbone of the enemy. Bring every force of darkness into total confusion. That men, O God, everywhere will humble themselves before you and recognize your supremacy, your sovereign grace, operating in the lives of men like never before. For in the days of your power, the people will be willing. So let it now be. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we decree it so done. And all of God's people together in agreement said, yes, and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I thank God for every one of you that took time to come out tonight. We'll share the announcement in just a moment. Our next time of meeting together will be Friday. Mama's special birthday is happening on next Sunday, the 24th. Let's celebrate her together and thank God for how special she has been, a gift that she's been to every one of us. Amen? Praise God. Well, let the announcements roll, and after that, I will come back and speak to those that may be on Zoom. God bless you. At this time, please come, honor God with your tithes and your offerings, your vows, first fruits, whatever it is that God has laid in your heart. Remembering that our giving is not based on some system. Whatever system of tithing God put there is just something that He is using to break the backbone of self-centered and selfishness out of us. It is not a casino thing. No. In the kingdom of God, you see and you hear from God. You say, Father, you've blessed me with so much. What do you want me to bring to you today? And He will tell you. Go past tithing to hearing God. I guarantee you, without fail, if you can hear God concerning your giving, you will hear God concerning any other subject, any other thing in your life. God bless you. Honor God. Announcements, please. Praise the Lord.